the pleasure to welcome to the radio the head of prevention for infectious diseases here in Monaco at the Princess Grace Hospital, Dr. Keita Percy. Thank you for coming in. Firstly, your experience with COVID-19, how would you explain to our listeners what you've seen and maybe some presumptions that have been made in media or from certain age groups about how this virus affects different age groups?
Yeah, I think that's a shame that people think it only affects old people. That's not true. We have in our hospital, we have younger people. So if I had something to say, it would be aware that it can affect young people. It does not only affect ill or sick people. And please protect yourself and protect the others.
So the message is for everybody to keep up the washing your hands, wearing a mask, physical distancing.
Yeah.
And just on the note of your experience at the Princess Grace Hospital, have you seen, for example, any reason behind maybe why somebody might suddenly have mild symptoms to then in intensive care?
Well, we see that every time, every day. That's really what's stunning with this virus. People go, you know, they're hospitalized, yes, they are under some surveillance, and within 2 or 3 hours, then they don't go well at all, and they need to be hospitalized in the intensive care unit. And we can't manage. There's nothing to do about that. We don't know when to expect this transformation. We don't know. But it happens.
So you don't see it coming and it happens.
Exactly. Within 1-2 hours, it goes worse and worse and you don't know why.
Now, moving on to the vaccination campaign. Can you tell our listeners what can residents and employees of the Principality expect as far as the vaccination campaign against COVID in the Principality is concerned?
Yes. Well, the Principality has elaborated a vaccination plan with different steps. The schedule is based on international recommendations and depends, of course, on the vaccine's availability or on the logistic possibilities. So basically, the objective is protect first those who are at risk of severe COVID diseases. That means, of course, old people, people with what we call comorbidities, for instance, diabetes or obesity or other chronic diseases. And when these people contract SARS-CoV-2, they often need to be hospitalized, and then sometimes they develop complications, and those complications can lead to an intensive care unit hospitalization, and sometimes to death, of course. So that's the reason why they should be vaccinated first. And besides, healthcare workers, healthcare professionals need to be at work, of course. So they need to be healthy and they need to be vaccinated in order to take care of the patients, all of them, COVID or non-COVID, but until the end of the epidemic.
So as you just mentioned, the priority cases, the people working on the front line, the health workers are being vaccinated.
They are.
As we speak.
Since last Monday for the elderly, and since Friday for the healthcare workers.
And the next stage?
Well, if it's possible, we'll have all people vaccinated. But the next stage is, people with other comorbidities and younger and younger and younger.
And how have you seen the response? People over 75 are willing to be vaccinated. In your view, you've had a good response here in the Principality?
Yes, we do. Yes, we definitely do. I think people are really aware of what's going on. So we wanted to take time to inform them correctly. And based on this, we have a very good answer, a very good
response. Now, there's been a lot of media coverage, which has left some maybe, as I just mentioned, rather hesitant about having the vaccination. What would you say to those who are unsure about the safety, mainly, I guess, because they ask themselves, how can the vaccination have happened so quickly? How can it be ready so quickly?
Yeah.
What would you say to those people that are maybe a bit reticent?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's quick. Yes, thanks God, it's quick. But it's doesn't mean that it's too quick. Many researches are ongoing all over the world, all year long, and we don't necessarily know it. As long as vaccines are concerned, there is ongoing research, and former coronavirus infections such as SARS or MERS have been very well investigated, so they are better known. So the RNA technology has been studied for almost 20 years in cancer and so on. So we didn't start from, you know, from nothing. So, and moreover, there has been a tremendous effort by states all over the world, and they provided money, they provided logistic means at a very high level. So that was quick, it's true, but that doesn't mean that anything was neglected.
I actually, on that point, you mentioned 20 years. I was watching it on French media. A doctor had explained that the actual basis of this vaccine, now it's a lot of medical terminology that I can't actually go into or maybe remember, but he was saying that it's similar in medical terms as, for example, the ROR vaccine, which has been studied over the last 20 years. So is this the case then?
It's not exactly the same. What I understand from what you're saying is the he or she was saying that it's being long investigated. That's what I understand, but it's not exactly the same process. When we want to obtain an immune response, I think the actually RNA is the best one. It's much more simple. You have the cell product precisely the protein that you need, and that will be the so-called spike that will be recognized by the immune system, and you'll have it fought against by the immune cells. You see what I mean?
Because so they're the ones that die straight away, no?
Yeah. Yes. So that's brilliant, actually. That's brilliant, because you don't need to have any virus introduced into your body.
So you're not injecting the virus to
exactly.
be able to fight it.
No, you have this RNA.
RNA
produced,
stands for?
Yeah, ribonucleic acid. And you have it translate this protein.
Every day, apparently, we pick this up, no?
Absolutely.
It's around us. It's the bacteria that is...
It's the way we live, actually, producing proteins. So insulin, producing whatever.
So we're not injecting the virus.
We're just
using this RNA, which is we live with anyway in every day-to-day life, and it actually dies anyway.
Exactly.
And the vaccine's doing its job to get rid of it in your body.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I've understood. Now, is it not similar, again, to reassure people, maybe on, obviously not the illness, but the vaccine be similar to the flu vaccine, which has been modified yearly? And will this be the case? Will we have to have maybe a COVID-19 vaccine on a yearly basis?
Well, I'm not sure we have enough information to predict that. However, the influenza virus leads to, many mutations, which is not really the case for SARS-CoV-2, although we hear a lot about these mutations right now, the English mutations, for instance.
Yes, the variant.
The variant. But for the flu vaccine, this vaccine has to adapt each year to a new surface protein, not the spike, because it's not the spike in this case, but another one. And so far, it's not the case for SARS-CoV-2. It's always the same spike.
So fingers crossed that might not be the case.
So
don't know, too early to say.
Yeah, exactly. But what we don't know is the length of the immune response. So we might need to have boosters, for instance, not to change the vaccine, but we need boosters if the immune response is, less important. But so far in recent studies, scientists observed that we could have very encouraging responses, and it could last. We could be protected for years, actually.
Okay, that's a positive note in all of this. And just on the vaccine and how it's administered, so as you say, the priority cases and health workers at the moment, but then gradually it will be other people being vaccinated of all ages. How will it be administered? Will it be, is it two shots? And what's the delay if there are two shots?
Yeah, it's two shots. For the Pfizer vaccine, it's a delay of 21 days, but it can be up to 42 days based on the scientific studies that led to the process of, putting it on the market, as we say.
But the deadline would be 42 days.
Exactly. Yeah, no later. And it's 28 days for the Moderna vaccine. So these are the delays for the best immune responses. And these are based on the clinical studies that have been made. So, and the protection is based on these studies, and it's at its best after two injections.
Right. And a percentage of protection once you've had both injections?
Well, yeah, for both of the vaccines, it seems to be very, very high. That is approximately 95%.
For both of the vaccines?
Yes.
And finally, for all the team and colleagues that are doing an exceptional job at the Princess Grace Hospital here in Monaco, what message would you like to send them?
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'd like to thank them for their enthusiasm, confidence and good spirit. And I'd also like to say, hold on, be strong. And we are doing a good job, and I think our patients know it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for coming
You're
in
very
and,
welcome.
And taking the time to come in. And hopefully come back and see us maybe in the near future to hopefully tell us how it's all going on with, hopefully, fingers crossed, some good news.
Yeah. Okay, with pleasure. Thank you.
Pop quiz time.
Certainly is. 1997 is the year, of course, when Diana, Princess of Wales, was killed in a car crash in Paris. Chris Evans resigned from BBC Radio 1 after his request for a four-day week was refused. And the BBC preschool children's television series Teletubbies first aired. Question number one, Katrina and the Waves in 1997 won the Eurovision Song Contest with the song Love Shine a Light. It was the first time the UK had won the competition since when?
Oh, God.
I'll give you, okay, shall I get, I'll give you a choice of three.
It must have been that lot that you really like.
Yeah, which year? Just tell me the last time
the
they
year.
Won it. So this is 1997. When was the last time?
I don't know. 1984. That?
No, it's 1981.
Okay, was it Bucks Fizz, Making Your Mind Up?
Question number two, in 1997, the best soundtrack at the Brit Awards was Evita, Mission Impossible, Dangerous Minds or Trainspotting?
Trainspotting.
Correct. And finally, the Spice Girls knocked a Toni Braxton track off the top spot in the US singles chart. They were the first female British group to have a US number one with their debut single. Which Toni Braxton track did they knock off?
Break My Heart.
Well done. Wasn't that painful? Wasn't that bad? Well done.
What was the first one again?
It was the first question that you... Yeah, I can't remember. Oh, it was the year of the Eurovision Song Contest.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Hello.
Morning.
Morning. How are you? All right?
Yes, very well, thank you.
Good. Seems to be very matter of fact this morning.
Well, it's an interview. You ask me questions, I answer them. The public is informed. That's
good.
The way this works.
Had a bad day at home, did we? Little Henry driving you mad.
It is crazy, let me tell you. Homeschooling is absolutely crazy. It's not good for tensions around the household.
Well, that's what you signed up for, isn't it?
I suppose so.
Yeah. Get on with it then, stop moaning.
This is true.
Markets were a bit rudderless yesterday, weren't they, really?
Yeah, S&P rose for the second straight day, but it was only up 0.2%. There is some optimism the economy will continue to benefit from government support. Lots of reports that the Biden administration will ramp up its stimulus efforts, maybe to as much as $2 trillion in terms of a relief plan, although probably still looks a little bit extreme compared to the reality of what we're likely to see. Technology shares very much led the game, with the Nasdaq outperforming the benchmark S&P 500. Just after chip maker Intel jumped 7% after naming a new chief executive. Treasuries received strong demand at a government sale that helped to push yields down from the highest levels since March. Europe stock 600 was flat. It was held back a little bit by losses in banks and travel stocks. Opening calls on the European bourses looking positive this morning. Tony Corn and FTSE up 16 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 33 points. Cat Corn and Pass up 23 points.
Well, this is a biggie, isn't it? It's a Canadian group bidding for Carrefour. They must have a bit of cash hanging around.
They certainly do. Canada's Couche-Tard has made a bid for Carrefour that values the French grocer at €20 a share or €16.4 billion. Carrefour shares reacting to that, as you'd probably expect, hitting their highest level since August 2019 on the update, up 14%, closing at around €18. If completed, the deal, of course, would add geographical diversification in Europe and Latin America for Couche-Tard and add large format stores to its convenience business. Carrefour, 2,000 supermarkets, 700 hypermarkets. It's actually France's biggest private employer, 320,000 workers globally, half of its sales in the domestic market. Couche-Tard has a market cap of $37 billion, has grown through acquisition, 9,200 convenience stores across North America, a number of brands including Circle K, also owns petrol stations. But getting a deal done in France isn't always the easiest, that has to be said. Carrefour has had some difficulties. They've embarked upon this huge cost-cutting program, but we know the French market is tough. Subdued economic growth coupled with intense competition has made certainly domestic conditions a little bit difficult.
They need to buck their ideas up a bit, Carrefour. I think I was in there the other day.
Do you not like it?
Well, it looks very shabby and tired and old-fashioned looking, although the shelves are filled, unlike some other outlets we could mention.
Tired, shabby and old-looking.
Yeah.
Should suit you quite well.
Yeah. I prefer Leclerc these days. They've got a lovely modern supermarket near where I live. It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, okay, well, perhaps our friends from Canada will encourage them, even if the deal doesn't happen, to buck their ideas up.
Yeah, no, that'd be a very good idea. ASOS is doing quite well, but the customs tariffs are affecting the business a little bit.
Yeah, starting to see that filter through to some companies now, starting to see the numbers. ASOS said the company is facing £15 million of tariffs linked to regulations around country of origin rules following Britain's departure from the European Union. But are doing well. They said as more people order clothes online, fewer products are returned during the pandemic. Now anticipates profits will be closer to the £170 million mark. This after strong trading in the 4 months ending the 31st of December. UK was already, of course, a global leader in online sales before the pandemic struck and has been particularly strong. In terms of the outlet, they said its customers continue to do very well, but they remain vulnerable to weaker economic prospects, particularly for its core customer base of younger shoppers. It will increase investment in its business, particularly in the automation of its US distribution facilities, but generally a very positive outlook from them.
Yeah, and a real shot across the bows to the British government fired by the UK Food and Drink Federation yesterday, warning Brexit red tape is set to increase supply chain costs. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, the reality of Brexit now, or the deal that was struck, or that thin trade deal was struck, and the truth is that the frictionless trade has certainly disappeared, and companies are finding that very much to their cost as they try to move goods around, particularly of course coming from Europe into the UK. And what does that mean in terms of supply chains, and will you indeed see that impacting stores with a loss of products on the shelves? I think there's been some anecdotal evidence that's particularly been the case in Northern Ireland, but perhaps we'll see it a little bit more wider spread as companies who built up stockpiled goods, anticipating some disruption, start to go through that, and the reality of normal trading starts to filter through to volume levels.
And you must be one of Just Eat's best customers, aren't you?
Never had it has to be said. I was probably in my younger days. My London days, it certainly would have been the case, but not in the household that Mrs. Potts runs. The takeaway provisions are somewhat limited. But JustEatTakeaway.com said UK orders are doing very well, at 58% in the final 3 months of 2020 as lockdown sent demand surging. UK households ordering 35.5 million takeaways. Wasn't just UK, it has to be said. Orders in Germany are up by more than a half. They're up 2/5 in the Netherlands. Just Eat, they said, has been overhauling its marketing strategy, doubling its sales force. They've added a raft of new restaurants, including McDonald's and Greggs, to its platform. Global orders were up 57%. Revenue rose more than 60% to between 720 and 740 million euros. Just Eat has been on a buying spree of rivals in recent years to cement its position as the world's biggest online takeaway platform.
When a man is tired of London, he's tired of life, Mr. Potts.
This is true. This is true. I'm certainly tired, that is for sure.
Do you miss the smoke at all?
It seems strange, isn't it? You kind of adapt to your sort of world quite quickly, I think. It's, you know, not far off a year since I was in Canary Wharf, which seems absolutely remarkable. I remember packing up my desk. Well, I hardly pack up all my pens, my water bottle.
It's a dress rehearsal of being sacked.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's hope not. Is all there, I suppose, gathering dust. I don't know. But we thought it'd be sort of 6 weeks or something in that order. And that'd be obviously significantly longer than that. But you sort of get into the swing of your new world. It very quickly becomes your reality. So I wouldn't mind jumping on a plane and seeing some clients face to face and doing all that sort of stuff. But it's been an interesting time, that's for sure.
Well, the team won't miss your contributions for the coffee round anyway. That's one thing.
They did say that, yes.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.36. Euro dollar coming in at 1.21. Going to get 1 euro 12 cents for your British pound this morning.
Right, thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
French Prime Minister Jean Castex will this evening announce decisions taken by the government following Wednesday's Defence Council meeting. At 6 p.m, Castex is expected to give an update on the health situation in France, along with new measures to curb the spread of COVID-19, as well as plans to try and contain the more aggressive strain of the virus, which is now circulating in France, with cases being detected in the Alpes-Maritimes and also the Var. According to reports, two family clusters in Biot and Fréjus have been identified. In both cases, it was a young man in his 20s studying in the UK, who, upon his return to the region, infected those around him. Health authorities have said that the health situation in France has not improved over the last weeks, with numbers of new cases hovering around 20,000, although the rate of infection has remained stable. A new lockdown is not favoured by the government, and Castex is likely to announce stricter measures, with the new curfew of 6 p.m, which currently affects 25 departments, being extended throughout France. There's also the possibility of a lockdown at weekends and a limit on travel between regions for those departments the worst affected. As far as the vaccination campaign is concerned, France started vaccinating elderly people in nursing homes as well as staff on the 26th of December. Phase two of the campaign started in January with health professionals over 50. And on Monday, January the 18th, all people over 75 will be able to be vaccinated. However, the campaign for this age group has started earlier in the Alpes-Maritimes, with the first vaccinations being carried out on Wednesday for the over 75s. According to the medical platform Dr. Lib, the rest of the population will have to wait until the spring. On Wednesday, French President Emmanuel Macron reacted to criticism of the vaccination campaign in France, saying that those who say it's not going fast enough should note that the government is acting responsibly and that it takes longer than a tweet. Meanwhile, in Monaco, the vaccination campaign is already underway, with the elderly in nursing homes, residents over 75, and those between 65 and 74 with health issues. For any questions about the vaccination campaign, you can call 92055500 from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. or go to the gov.mc website. On Wednesday, the Principality declared 33 new cases of COVID-19, bringing the total number of residents affected to 1,128. 29 people are currently hospitalised and 122 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. The Mayor of Nice, Christian Strozzi, has said that he has requested from the Prefect of the Alpes-Maritimes a decree prohibiting seasonal rentals in the region for the upcoming February holidays. Strozzi added that if the state refuses to do so, the City of Nice will pass a municipal bylaw. He also said that faced with the worrying situation of the department and Nice in terms of health, he would like reinforced protection measures on travel during the February holidays. In other news, rail traffic in the region has been interrupted after a man had installed himself on the tracks not far from the station of Antibes. The incident occurred at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, with trains halted in both directions for 4 hours while emergency services intervened. As a precaution, power was cut and coaches were made available to passengers as an alternative form of travel. A former convent located in Old Nice looks set to become a five-star hotel, much to the delight of the mayor of Nice. The Council of State definitely closed a dispute between an association and the mayor of Nice on Wednesday. The Council of State rejected the appeal of the association, which was the last possible procedure in hopes to block the building permit for a five-star hotel, which was issued on November the 8th back in 2016. The luxury hotel is expected to offer nearly 90 rooms with restaurants, bars, library, a swimming pool and conference area. Work is expected to start in spring of this year for the hotel to open in the spring or summer of 2023. And finally, a Christmas tree recycling programme in Nice has resulted in the collection of 3,400 trees. Deputy Mayor of Nice, Pierre-Paul Lionelli, said that the collected trees would produce 5 tonnes of compost and thanked local residents for their participation.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Cricket. Day one of the first test between Sri Lanka and England in Galle. Sri Lanka won the toss and decided to bat. The home side had been reduced to 16 for 2 after just 7 overs, with Stuart Broad taking the wickets of Thiramin and Mendes. But another wicket's gone down, but Sri Lanka are recovering a little bit. 24 overs bowled, 65 for 3 the home side. Angelo Matthews 17 not out, Dinesh Chandimal 22 not out. Football, there were 2 games in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Phil Foden scored the only goal of the game as Manchester City beat Brighton 1-0 to make it 7 wins in a row in all competitions. The City boss Pep Guardiola said it was a difficult match against quality opposition.
It's the toughest opponent. Because if you want the ball, you have to suffer, you have to do many, many good things to have it. And when they have the ball, they know exactly what they have to do because every player is in his position. Yeah, we knew it. But unfortunately, we could not score the second and third goal. It will be easy. And in the last minutes, in the last 10, 15 minutes, we suffer, we struggle.
Brighton boss Graham Potter was pleased with his side's performance.
We're disappointed to come away with nothing. I think we meet a very, very good team, a top team. But I'm so proud and happy with the players. What they gave today, they gave everything. Quality when they had the opportunity. You have to suffer here, that's how it is. But at the same time, I thought we were aggressive as well and tried to attack. But always you're on the stretch because they've got such wonderful players.
In the day's other game, Tottenham missed the chance to move up to third in the Premier League table after a 1-1 draw at home against struggling Fulham. England striker Harry Kane's first half goal was cancelled out by a strike from Ivan Cavallero 15 minutes from time. Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson has been speaking for the first time since Palace's Eberechi Eze attended Saturday's FA Cup tie between his former club QPR and Fulham. Eze was a guest in Queen's Park Rangers director's box. The FA did not approve the visit and are looking into the matter. So, given the COVID-19 protocols footballers are supposed to be observing, what does Hodgson make of his players' behaviour?
It does merit a fine because, you know, a slap on the wrist isn't really enough. He's got to understand that we take this very seriously. We don't want any of our players involved in any way connected to breaches of the coronavirus rules that are being put out there, which so many people are working hard to respect.
And Crystal Palace are away to Arsenal on Thursday. Southampton's Premier League game with Leeds on Wednesday, the 20th of January, has been postponed. That's because Southampton will now face Shrewsbury in a rearranged FA Cup third round tie the previous evening. The original fixture was postponed because of a COVID-19 outbreak at the League One club. And Manchester United defender Tim Fosu-Mensah has completed a permanent move to Bayer Leverkusen. He moves to the Bundesliga club for an undisclosed fee. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Bit of a term up for the books, Spurs being held to a draw by Fulham.
It certainly is, yeah.
Funny old game, isn't it? So, as they were saying, one game tonight, Arsenal against Crystal Palace.
I'll go for Crystal Palace.
Really? That's a bold prediction.
It certainly is.
Well, seeing as your previous prediction about Sheffield United came true, maybe I'll have to agree with you, but I won't. Draw. Rugby Union in England prop Carl Sinclair will miss the start of the Six Nations after being banned for 2 weeks for swearing as a referee. Sinclair was sanctioned for failing to respect the authority of a match official during the Premiership game between Bristol and Exeter last weekend. He contested the charge but was found guilty by a disciplinary panel and will miss England's Six Nations opener against Scotland on February the 6th. Tennis. Great Britain's Francesca Jones has qualified for the first round of Grand Slam for the first time ever. Jones beat Liu Jiang of China in qualifying for the Australian Open and will take her place in round one of the competition on the 8th of February. And in racing, Prince Khaled Abdullah, who owned and bred a number of great racehorses, including Franklin and Abel, has died at the age of 83. The Saudi prince's green, pink and white colours were carried to victory in 118 Group or Grade 1 races. The racing community said the prince would be remembered as a quiet, dignified and benevolent man whose horses spoke for him. On race cards, he preferred to be known simply as Mr. K. Abdullah. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Sea in the VAR. The general situation is a depression, 1,009 millibars over the Ligurian Sea. Our winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, rain, force 3 to 5 northeasterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, showery, force 4 to 6 westerly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Clear skies again today. Light to moderate variable winds in the Outer Maritime. A strong mistral gusting across the VAR at up to 90 kilometres an hour. Top temperature 13 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 8 degrees with rain spreading across the region. Friday and the start of the weekend, rain tomorrow, giving way to sunshine and showers during the day. Cloudy on Saturday, highs of 9 to 11 degrees. Finally,
Brits have given up, well, dry January the elbow, and they've turned to drink amid one of the gloomiest starts to a year. Yet another lockdown and being with the kids most of the time, combined with the grim winter weather, has led to parents reaching for the bottle opener. Weekly wine sales are a third up on last year, while beer sales have soared to 49%. Spirits have shot up, with Waitrose reporting a 64% hike for rum and a 56% jump for tequila. Other supermarkets say sales of cream liqueurs such as Bailey's have doubled. And despite pubs and bars being shut, nearly a third of Brits who started the month intent on going alcohol-free have already fallen off the wagon. In fact, according to a YouGov poll, 16% had consumed alcohol by January the 3rd.
Bottoms up. Are you up to date? The news is on the website, rivieraradio.mc, 18 minutes to 8. Girls and boys, the theme for Feel Good Friday this week. Jan says, air, sexy boy. Trenton would like Romeo Void, a girl in trouble. David says, cinnamon girl, Neil Young. Alex says, the Rolling Stones, where the boys go. And Martin would like the Beatles. Sorry for calling you Marion, darling.
Boys, boys, boys.
Girl, what, by Sabrina?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Somebody request it, please.
You'd have me crying at the discotheque.